Hello and welcome to this week's message from Valley Church. Catch up on recent messages and find out what's happening in the life of church by heading to valleychurch.eu or follow us on social media. Enjoy the message.
Well, everybody, welcome to the message section of our service. It's so exciting to be here on our 14th birthday. Happy birthday to everybody who calls Valley Church home. And if you're visiting or a guest in one of the rooms or you're online, it's so good to have you with our party day. We hope you've enjoyed what's been going on in the rooms and everything else that's been going on this birthday. It's so exciting to be 14.
It really is. And God's done so much in the last 14 years, some of which you've seen already. And we know he's got way more to go. So thanks for being with us. And we're excited to be with you on this journey.
We do. And I couldn't, but I had to take at least one story about what's happened over the last 14 years. We are actually in our South Preston venue at the moment, which we've been in for, I can't believe it, for almost 10 years, not quite, but almost 10 years. And I remember when we first opened this building, we kind of sorted out the contract with the landlord, and then we had to get planning permission to make it into a worship building. And that was supposed to take about 4 or 5 months, but it actually took less than a month. So when we got the notice, like, we need to start on Sunday, it was just a few days away. And then it was like God took over, and it was so exciting. We actually had 2 weeks, it was like living in a, living in a book. Almost every day, somebody rang up offering chairs or kids work or youth work. It was utterly amazing. And do you know, I'm still excited thinking about the fact that I know that God believes in us as a church because God has provided so much. So, birthday. Happy birthday.
It was amazing, wasn't it? We got state-of-the-art, was it football table?
We did get a great football table.
For the youth work, we got tables for the kids work, and it was just amazing.
Yeah, and everything's in the right colour.
It was
amazing. God is good. So happy birthday to all of us. And you know, God hasn't finished with us yet.
That's right.
We can't wait to see what God is going to do in the next 14 years. Well, we want to share something with you today to get you ready for that future. So if you have a Bible, why don't you turn to Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7, because we're going to have a look at the story of Gideon. Now, Gideon lived in a time when the Israelite nation, well, it wasn't going well. It wasn't going very well. The Midianites and the eastern peoples kept kind of moving into Israel, and they would just eat everything, kill everything, take everything. And in chapter 6, we meet Gideon. He's in a large wine press hiding from the Midianites, and he's threshing some grain. We presume enough grain to feed his family. And so he's there, he's scared, and then God shows up, and God calls him a mighty warrior, and he goes, no, I'm not. Look, here, I'm in a wine press, I'm scared. And anyway, God, you've left us to the Midianites, so you're a long way away. And my tribe's rubbish, and my family's rubbish, and I'm the weakest of my family. No, this is not good. We're definitely not a mighty warrior. But to his credit, Gideon listened to what God had to say to him. And that's so important. As you listen to this story and what Pastor Michelle's going to share in a bit, remember that Gideon was scared. He thought he was insignificant. He couldn't do stuff. But he listened to God. And as the story goes, I haven't got time to do it all. Actually, we find by chapter 7 that Gideon is leading an army, would you believe it, to go and try and defeat the Midianites. Now, it says in Judges chapter 6 that in verse 5, that the Midianites were like a swarm of locusts in the land, and it was impossible to count all their camels. Such was the number of invaders that were in the Israelite land. And so that's the people in the land. And I want to pick this story up in Judges chapter 7. It says this: early in the morning, Gideon and all his men were camped at the spring of Harod. And the camp of the Midianites was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreth. Now, the experts say that's about 4 miles away. But Gideon was on a hill and the Midianites were camped in a valley. So actually, probably, they could see the hordes of the Midianites in the valley. And then the Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver the Midianites into your hands, because the Israelites might boast against me that they have done it in their own strength." Now, I'm pretty sure Gideon didn't think he had enough men. If you're facing an army that's so numerous, you can't count them. Camels, you can't even count. You know, you'd need a lot of men. But we read in the next few verses that actually he didn't have that many anyway. And so Gideon was told by God to announce to people, if anybody is scared, you can go home. Now let's face it. You're looking down the valley, men without number. And your commander says, look, if you're scared at all, you may go home. Okay, I'm off. Bye. And the Bible says that 22,000 people, soldiers left, and left him with 10,000 to face this massive horde. More than two-thirds of his army left, yet were scared. Can't blame them. Fair enough. But they go. So Gideon, I'm sure, was thinking, well, 10,000, still pretty good number, 10,000, that's not bad, you know. Probably if we kill maybe 100 or 1,000 each, we might have a chance, you know. It's not the end of it. I've still got 10,000. It still looks pretty good. Crowd of 10,000 people is good. Anyway, but then the Lord said to Gideon, verse 4, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will shift them out for you there. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go, and if I say this one shall not, then they will shall not. So Gideon took them down. And the Bible says that 9,700 did the sensible thing, went down on the knees. I won't do it because I'll disappear from the camera. Went down on the knees, picked the water in the hands, and kind of did that because it's quick and it's easy. 300 men didn't. They kind of looking around, no. And then they kind of did that, stood up. And God said, you need to keep those 300 men. You need to let the other 9,700 go. Now, at which point, I'm pretty sure Gideon went and said, God, you're kidding. Well, perhaps he didn't. Perhaps he'd gone, well, who cares? I only had 10,000 anyway. I mean, what's another 9,700 going? I mean, we're probably not going to do it with 10,000, and we're probably not going to do it with 300. So if God's going to do this, who cares? I don't know. We don't know. But I imagine Gideon was convinced at this point that if God didn't come through, he was dead. He was dead. But seemingly he trusted God. So it says this. So in verse 7, the Lord said to Gideon, with these 300 men that lapped, I will save you, and I'll give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go home. And then it says in verse 12 that the Midianites and the Amalekites and the other eastern people had settled in the valley, and they were as thick as locusts, and he couldn't count the camels. Anyway, God wanted to encourage Gideon before he set off. And so he said this. He said to Gideon in verse 9, during the night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up and go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. He said, if you are afraid, which obviously he was, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they're saying. Afterwards, be encouraged and go and attack them. So Gideon goes down and has a listen to what they're saying. Just as he arrives at the edge of the camp, he hears this, verse 13. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. He said, I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp, kind of like rolled in. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. Isn't God good? I always think God's good. If God asks you to do something difficult, God always encourages you, and God encouraged Gideon. When Gideon heard this dream and its interpretation, he worshipped God. Then he returned to the camp of Israel, 4 miles away, and said, get up, everybody. The Lord has given the Midian camp into your hands. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he placed trumpets and an empty jar in the hands of all of them with a torch inside each of the jars. Watch me, he told them. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. And the story's amazing. So these three groups of men, 108, go and surround this huge camp. I can imagine the kind on three sides of the valley, the top and the two sides. And Gideon's, as he's kind of approaching the edge of the camp, partway down the slope, the Bible says that he commands his men to light the torches inside the jars, break the jars and at the same time shout for the Lord and for Gideon. And then once he's done that, to blow the trumpets. And as they do those and they shout from the top of the valley, goes out for the Lord and for Gideon, smash, lights, trumpets. Then down the two sides, two more lots of 100 men suddenly smash, light for the Lord and for Gideon. Big blast on the trumpet, and down the valley, can you imagine the trumpet noises echoing around? And everybody's half asleep, it's the middle of the night, and the Bible says that the whole camp was in turmoil, and everybody jumped out of bed, nobody put the uniform on, and they spent the next few hours killing each other because the Lord caused panic and a great victory was won. It's a very exciting day. And then the Bible goes on and says that actually Gideon did various bits and pieces and killed them all off and killed the kings and all that kind of thing. But God came through. This scared young man became the mighty warrior, not because he wasn't scared, not because he thought he's worth it, but because he listened to God. As Pastor Michelle talks, I'm just going to pray in a second. I want to encourage you to listen to what God wants to speak to you in these next few moments. So let's just pray, and then we'll hand over to Pastor Michelle. Father, we thank you that it doesn't matter where we are, if we'll just keep our ears open, our minds open, our spirits open, you will speak to us and you will help us to become that person that you've called us to be. So, Father, I pray in these next few moments that you will speak to each one of us who's listening to this, whether in the room or watched online. And, Father, particularly I pray if there's any listening who don't know you yet, that they may know that you're loved, that they're loved by you, that they can have a relationship with you. And Father, I pray that they may decide at the end of this message to say yes to starting a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, do you love that story? It is one of my all-time favorite stories from the Bible. And I'm sure as you've heard such a brilliant telling of it, you can just put yourself right into the picture. And I wondered when you were hearing about all the different groups, you know, who did you identify with? It's kind of always one of my questions, I think, that I ask. You know, did you identify those ones that actually got the gift of actually being able to go home when they were scared? Did you identify with the ones who fought to the end? Did you identify with Gideon? And, you know, that picture that Ed mentioned about the armies were like locusts on the floor of the valley. And, you know, just that kind of whole thing, you can get it in your head what this actually looked like and felt like. And there's Gideon with his 32,000 men and probably kind of feeling a little bit more secure with the 32,000, as Ed had said. But really, he still needed this confirmation from God. And even though he had these 32,000, he still went to God and kind of said, you know, God, is this okay? And actually, it says in the previous chapter, the angel of the Lord himself appeared to Gideon. And many times we see the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, and quite a lot of the times it's actually relating to God himself or actually Jesus in the Old Testament as he appeared. And this is amazing because actually the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. I mean, that is such a wow moment. So Gideon's going, I'm not sure about this. And God's going, I'm right here with you, Gideon. And it is absolutely phenomenal because Gideon was feeling inadequate. And, you know, he talked about being the least of the families and his clan was the least of the clans. And he asked for a sign. And God is so gracious. You know, God gave him a sign, but still Gideon was afraid to follow instructions. And so in chapter 6, verse 36, he says, if you will save Israel by my hand as you promised, then please give me another sign, God. And you know what? God just didn't get frustrated, strike him down and say, you know, I've had enough. I've already given you a sign. I've appeared and everything. He actually gave another sign and even yet another one. And so as Ed was kind of sharing that, I don't know how you saw yourself in there. But I just want you to know that God is kind of reassuring you today that he is right there with you. And when Gideon had his 32,000 men and kind of thought, okay, it's unlikely to win, but, you know, we'll give it a go. God then took away the 22,000, which left Gideon with the 10,000. And God still said it was too many because actually God wanted to do something spectacular. And God wanted to defeat the Midianites with 300 men. That's God, Gideon, and 300 men. And sometimes you might be in situations in life where you don't feel like you have enough. But God says to you, and this is my title of my message, you have more than you need. You have more than you need. You know, we can look at life, and we do it on our birthdays. We do it sometimes even on social media. And, you know, you can get like, 3 years ago, this happened. And you're kind of going, I wonder what will happen in 3 years' time. And, you know, we've had a kind of interesting week with different people from different eras of our life kind of popping up. We had a great lunch on Monday with people from like 30 odd years ago. And then even this week, I've had someone from, like when Jonathan was a baby, contact me, and someone we used to play kind of flute jazz with and stuff. And it's been quite amazing to see, you know, the different kind of ways that life kind of turns out. But often on our birthday, we look back and we look ahead and we begin to ask questions like, God, what are you going to do this year? You know, what is going to happen in this year? How can I resource myself well for it? What kind of things do I need to get through? Do I have enough, God, for what you have for me? And are you still here? Perhaps in this COVID season, God, you know, am I going to be okay getting back to normal? How am I going to cope with the different things that are going to happen to me? Perhaps like Gideon, you look around at your resources and you go, it's okay, I've got my 32,000 men. You know, I've got all of this stuff around me, it's going to be fine. Or you look around and you go, actually, I'm not sure that I can do it. It's not that you don't have enough or you can't get through. But actually, more importantly, the question to ask today is, who or what are you putting your trust in? Because Gideon couldn't put his trust in the men and win. But Gideon, with his hand in God, was an absolute victor. So in Judges chapter 6, verse 12, it says this. When the angel of the Lord appeared, his greeting was, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And then two verses on, it says, "Go in the strength you have. Am I not sending you?" And if we just pause for a minute and think about these two verses, God was saying to Gideon, "You're a mighty warrior. But you can put your name in there. Michelle, you're a mighty warrior. Ed, you're a mighty warrior. Steve, you're a mighty warrior. Rick, you're a mighty warrior." God also said, "I am sending you." And you know, God does the same to us. And whatever you're doing in life, wherever you're at in life, is there something that is in your life today that maybe you're actually looking at and you're looking at a fear of a lack in this area? You know, perhaps it's energy or time or money, maybe it's friendship or even family, finance, so many different things. And I just want you to reflect on this for a moment. And I've got three just short thoughts for you today. The first one is this. God says it's not about what you have. God says it's not about what you have. God says it's not about what you have because I can resource you in ways that you do not know. Now, we obviously have a responsibility to manage our resources well, to manage our finances, to be responsible for ourselves and that which God has entrusted us to. But we are not solely to trust in these things. We're not just supposed to have faith in ourselves and our own abilities. Because being a Christian isn't about us. It's not even about following a set of rules or making certain lifestyle choices. But being a Christian is about putting our trust in God. And there's a spiritual element that says, when there is no more left of me, when there is nothing left of my own resource, then God, dot, dot, dot. And it's called living by faith. And doing this grows our life. It conquers our fears. It brings assurance. It brings peace and restores our soul. When Ed and I were at Bible college, I can just share a story with you. Before we went, God really assured us that he was going to look after us financially. Like, we went to Bible college certain that God had it all in control. But when it got to the end of our final year, we had a bit of a debt accumulating. We hadn't paid all our fees. And we could have worried about it. You know, we'd done all we could. We'd worked and we'd saved and people had given and we'd gone. And God had just told us it was going to be okay. And before we got to the very final day, actually God came through. And there was nothing physically we could have done. We couldn't have called on our own resources. We couldn't have done any more than we did. But God came through. And God can come through for you as well. So that's the first point. Secondly, God says, do you have too much? God says, do you have too much? Now, this might seem a really strange question. For God to be revealed as victor, Gideon had to downsize. Gideon had too many men. And I just wonder today, are there any areas in your life that are maybe too busy or too complicated or too full for God to be revealed as victor? Is there something in your life that you need to downsize? Is there some part of your life that you need to declutter? Or something that maybe is in the way or just in the wrong place? something that needs changing to release more time, finance, capacity? Is there a lid on your life that is keeping you down when really you need to break through? It's so easy to go through life adding things in, just one more, one more, one more, one more. And, you know, on this, our 14th birthday, is there maybe something that instead of adding in, you need to take out? And so that's my second thought. So thirdly and finally, maybe today this is all new to you. You know, maybe you've never heard this before, or maybe you've heard it before, but you've been just carrying on and doing life with your own resource, just relying on your own strength, relying on your own courage, on your own knowledge, and not really even knowing that there is another way possible. God sent Jesus, his son, to earth to die on a cross, to take your stuff. The things that wear you down, the things that keep you up at night, the things that invade your thoughts and dreams, the things you don't want to think about or remember and try to bury. Today, can I tell you that God's arms are big enough. His shoulders are strong enough to carry everything that you are carrying so that you can let go, so that you can be released to walk into freedom, to get rid of the ghosts, to get rid of the demons. You can't change the past, but the future isn't written yet. Deuteronomy 33 verse 27 says this: "The eternal God is your refuge, and his everlasting arms are under you. He drives out the enemy before you." God wants to release you today to walk into freedom. And wherever you're at in life, God's arms are big enough, his arms and shoulders are big enough and strong enough for everything that is in your life. And so I really want to simply leave you with that thought today. And shortly our MCs are going to come up and they're just going to give you the opportunity to do that for yourself. But before we do that, I'd just like to pray for everyone today, whatever as God has been speaking to you about this morning, so that when we go into this next year, we go into it looking to God for our resource, looking to God for our strength and knowing that he is enough. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the story of Gideon. God, we thank you that when we look to our own resources, God, that when we look to all the things around us and somehow it still comes up lacking, God, that we can turn to you and we can see that even without our own resources, God, take away the 32,000, give us a 300 and you, God, and it's a win every time. And so, God, I pray that you will help us all, God, whatever we need to do in our lives, God, whether it's to turn to you for the first time, God, whether it's to declutter our lives, oh God, whether it's just to stop looking at our own resources and look to you, God, I pray that you will help us to rely on you, to trust in you, God, to be true Christians, people who live by faith, to live in the spiritual realm of life, God, not looking just to the humanness and to the kind of the normal, but actually knowing, God, that you have us, that you've got it covered, and that we can trust you for today and for tomorrow. So God, we thank you for being with us, and we just give this to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So when we were talking about what we're going to say on this birthday, we wanted to encourage you. We wanted to let you know that God has you and he will thoroughly resource you. But you might need to get rid of some clutter in your life. And the greatest gift that we can give you on this birthday is Jesus Christ. So if you don't know him, the MCs are literally going to jump up in a second and just give you a chance to do that. But perhaps you've drifted far away from him. This is your moment to rededicate your life and say, God, I'm going to trust you. And I trust you. The story of Gideon, a man who was scared, a man who was fearful, a man who thought he was weak, but he listened to God and God transformed him into that person he always was, a mighty warrior. And God wants to do the same for you. So let's welcome the MCs up.
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. If you've been impacted by it and would like to respond by choosing to follow Jesus, we'd love to help you to do that. One of our pastors would love to be in touch with you. Why not email response@valleychurch.eu or head to valleychurch.eu/next-steps to discover more. We're so excited for your future. Be blessed.